right, well, we're back with the 20 Years in 24 podcast. Today we have Louis Lombardi on as a guest, chatting with us about his time on 24. You might know him as Edgar Styles on season 4 of 24. And we loved Edgar, and rest in peace, Edgar. Louis, I guess the first question is, how did you get involved with 24? And what was your experience like?
Well, how I got involved was I did a show called Sopranos in like 2000, and I played the FBI agent. About 2 years after that, I get an audition or a call in from Joel Surnow, actually, right? He was like, hey, man, I just watched the Sopranos. I did a role on the show. You know, we think you'd be good for, you know? And I was like, really? That's really cool. He goes, you know, it's like one or two episodes. We'll see how it works out, you know? And he was like, I was a fan of Sopranos, and I want to put you on this show. And I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. I go in and I read for everybody, John Cassar, Joel, Howard, everybody, all those guys, the whole room. And they hire me for an episode. He's like, yeah, well, come on, we'll see how it works out. And they just kept writing for me great and great. And they made this really, really like sad, empathetic, but lovable character who is kind of like the anti-hero. Everybody wants to be, you know, Jack Bauer, but they can't. You know, he's gone. They look at a person like Edgar, and it was almost where I could be that guy. He's my neighbor. And I used my mind to do what Jack was doing with his physical abilities in a way, right? The fighting and this, that. The writing for Edgar was amazing because not only did they create this really smart character who's able to shut down reactors and shut down stuff, but is also, you know, lovable and likable, like with his mom. The writing on that show, to me, those writers are some of the best writers in writing. Because you take a premise that's the same every year and make it different, that's just creative, it's genius. Even though sometimes people go, oh, yeah, you get from, you know, L.A. downtown in 5 minutes. Okay, dude, it's like, you know that saying, don't count the bullets in TV and movies? You know, and 24, those writers just continuously kept the show moving 100 miles an hour. You know, my hat off to those writers. Those writers deserve every bit of success they all had. And they've all had massive success after 24. And there's a reason for that, because they're all brilliant, they create great stuff, and they know how to move something that's already been done, and they killed it.
I love the fact that they saw you on Sopranos and went, we're going to write something for you. We have something in mind for you. What was the difference between going from Sopranos to 24?
Well, the funny part is on Sopranos, I don't know if you ever watched Sopranos, but I was that hardcore, shut up, pussy, I'll fucking kill you. You're a rat. I was like hardcore, pussy. That's why when I look at Joel Surnow, like as a creative, unbelievably creative mind, he went, there's a hardcore New York, hardcore police guy. I'm going to put him in as an FBI agent, which I was on 24, in a whole different role. I love when writers and creators think outside like Joel did. Joel was like, no, you're going to be the opposite of what you played. I ended up doing, I think the fourth season, I did all 24 episodes. And then I did like 14, I think. I don't know what episode I got killed in the fifth. Well, Joel Surnow saw this character that was the opposite of what he was writing, I guess. And they gave me Edgar, which is probably the best role I've ever had in my life. And I think Edgar Styles was my favorite character. It was the best, strongest character. Yeah, you know, and Sopranos was unbelievably great. I loved it. But this was a challenge as an actor. And Joel, I don't know, man. He just saw it and wrote it, and all those writers kept writing me, and it got sadder and stronger, and people liked the character more and more, and they just kept going on and on, and I can't thank those guys more. I was absolutely a fish out of water role, and it worked unbelievably great, and again, it's a testament to every writer and all the actors. The actors are great on that show. They keep that intensity up. Everybody's like, you know, 100 miles an hour because you're in that situation of the bomb's going off. You know, so it's like, not only that, but now you got to be worried. And it was sad. And again, my hat's off to those writers. I respect every single person on 24, writing, directing, acting, the host, all the people on the show. It was one of my favorite projects I've ever done.
Speaking of the writing, is there a reason why they killed Edgar Styles on the show? Was that planned or was that a last minute decision?
I have no idea. You know, I guess sometimes the characters, you know, they wanted to, you know, get audience shock from the audience, or maybe it was just maybe Edgar ran its course on the show. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons, but it got a lot of hype on the show. It got a lot of recognition, so they knew what they were doing. For whatever reason, it's their show. It's they're the writers, they're the guys, they're the creators. They gave me the best job I've ever had. Whenever your time is up, your time is up. Sometimes on these shows, like, why was Big Pussy killed? He was a major character. You know, sometimes these shows take an angle or a path, and it works, you know, or sometimes it don't, or sometimes it does. But, you know, I think the way they killed Edgar, they left an extremely memorable character in the TV world in history. But it was kind of funny, because how I got the news was one day I was eating on the truck, and they're like, Howard's like, oh, can we talk to you? I'm like, sure, I got my tray of food. Hey, you want some sushi? They're like, no, Louis, we want to talk to you. I'm like, okay. They should have let me eat first. But then they were just like, you know, we have this thing we want to do with you. It was like a week or two before. So it was just, it came immediately, you know. But again, it was a great dead scene. I watched that dead scene myself, and I kind of tear up all the time. I don't know which one to tear up more about. My mom dying. I watched that scene with me and my mom. And as an actor who's watched it for 10 years, or I don't know, 20 years, I guess, whatever it is, I still tear up when I watch that mom scene. Mom, no, you know.
That's amazing. It can have that effect on you, because you did it.
And that's why I give those writers the utmost respect. That scene with my mom passing is amazing. But it was funny, because with Sopranos, I'm muscling Big Pussy. You shut up or I'll hit you. When you go to 24, you got this character that's like, no, Chloe, stop yelling at me. I was muscling the big dude. Now I'm being muscled by a 5-foot girl, you know? Chloe was great. Working with her was great. She was just, it was so effortless and easy with her. She's great. She's a comedian who plays drama, who plays everything. Mary Lynn was great. She made it easy to work with. And again, they just kept feeling the energy, and they just kept writing for us.
You know, 20 years later, 24 continues to be very popular. It's growing in its fan base. Our Facebook group is getting 100 to 150 people a day. And that's why Ryan and I are doing this. And 24 is still beloved and still a great show. It's still unique. So why do you think, from your perspective, it continues to work?
First off, the 24 fans are the best. I love the 24 fans. And when I'm out, and I'm out all over the world, I'm not just saying here in the U.S., but I'm around the world. I travel everywhere. When I was in Japan, 24 was insane. I couldn't even walk down the streets. The Fox building was loaded. People coming out of the buildings taking pictures. I mean, lines of 100, 200 employees from the building. And it's kind of funny. I have this thing now, what I do with my daughter. I go, when a fan comes by, I go, if it's a Soprano fan or a 24 fan, I can tell in a second. The Soprano fans come over, saunter in. Hey, bro, what's up, man? You fucking kill pussy. And I'm like, yeah. But you can tell their posture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's that.
The body language.
Body language. And when I get the 24 fans, they're like, even if they're big dudes like you and I, like big guys. Oh my, I don't want to bother you. You were my favorite on Edgar Yard. I cried. I'm like, why don't come and talk? They're all more like reserved and more like, you know, more like quieter. And so I have the thing. I watch them come out. I go, 24 fam, Sopranos. And I love it.
It's a game only you can play.
But I can tell now the posture of people's bodies and their motion. But the 24 fans, man, are beautiful. That's it. There's nothing more you can say, man. They're diehards. They, you know, I've gotten some great messages when Edgar died, and supportive up until now. I still have people, you know, I don't know. I think the fans are great, and they make the show go. And again, it's a testament to the writers. Why does he keep going? They've watched the same premise for 8 years, but they're still so aggressively behind the show years later. That's a testament to what? The writing, directing, the cinematography. I mean, everything on that show to me is brilliant. You know, good stuff stays. When people watch bad stuff, it fades. But yeah, man. So again, the fan base of 24 are probably some of my favorite. And I've done a lot of great projects with great people. But the 24 fans, I could sit with them all day.
Well, it's interesting, too. Like, I like the way you said it. I hadn't thought about it until you said it. Instead of casting you in the same way you had been on Sopranos, he took you and made you a completely different character and showed a whole different side of you, which allows people to say, he can do this, he can do that, he can do whatever he wants. When I rewatch your mom's storyline, I cry every time. And when you go, I cry every time. And not only us, but on the 24 Universe Facebook page, every probably once a week, people reference Edgar Going more than anybody else because it still resonates with them because it was like we all watched it in real time. It puts us in that moment with them. We're helpless.
That's so great to hear. Like, I love hearing that the fans still, in your world where you hear the fans talk and they still talk about that. That's why I love that. That's why, again, that just goes to tell you, that's why I love the 24 fans, because when I see them, what they're saying to you on these chat forums and stuff is what they're saying to me.
Yeah, it's part of the reason that because Disney Plus around the world has added the Fox content to the streaming. So now all of a sudden people all over the world that didn't have 24 are now getting 24. So we're getting people from all over the world that are new fans and the stories are new and they're eating it up. They're binging it like crazy.
Wow. When I was in Japan, it was off the hook. They love 24, man. I mean, it was incredible to be there. Yeah, they have a massive market there. So
now we've heard about that conversation when the creators come to you and say, we need to go sit down and talk. We've heard about it from other people that were involved, and you got it during lunch on top of that. Even though you knew you were going, were you okay with it?
Yeah, they gave me an amazing job for 2 years. They gave me the best role. They probably gave me the best role I've ever had as an actor. Not probably, they did. Joel Surnow saw something like that was opposite and gave me a shot on doing something that was meaningful. I mean, and emotional. And Joel Surnow, I think, is a genius. I mean, I watch some of the stuff with Edgar and I'm like, what did he see from Skip Lipari? You know, maybe I was a little emotional sometimes with Big Pussy. I kind of stopped leaning on him as much. But with Edgar, it was like, I was like an emotional tirade for 2 years, you know, crying on my mother and nervous and racking and being yelled at him. I don't know. I think, again, that's against what I was saying about the writers, how they're unbelievably great on that show. And they wrote a great character who was his opposite. I've written and directed a few projects, right? And what I try to do is not cast the stereotypical guy. I don't want the same guy beating down your door. And that's what Joel did. He found this character in me, who was a hardcore guy on Sopranos, and he said, I'm going to opposite him. Even though he's a New York Italian guy, big guy, which I really never played gangsters in any of my movies. I pride myself on that as an Italian American. Maybe 5 movies I play a gangster or something, but I never do. I play cops or neighbors or friends. I did a movie with Rob Schneider called The Animal, and I'm a cop, but I'm a goofy, funny cop, like in an Adam Sandler.
You know what's interesting about Edgar is Edgar was so popular that in 24 Legacy, they had a character who was your cousin.
Yeah, man, it was great. So I guess it's, you know, their writing, my kind of way of playing it and the direction and I don't know. I'm extremely grateful and thankful for Joel Surnow bringing me in that room that day and saying, you know, we want to use you on this show and this is what it's going to be. I mean, that's an extremely creative, thinking outside the box, producer, writer, creator, whatever he is, everything, you know, much respect. My character could have been a little skinny guy with glasses and a button-up shirt with a pen thing, but Joel was like, absolutely not. We're going to make it different and make it real.
I mean, the heart of those 2 seasons, too, was the relationship, as you said, between Edgar and Chloe and you and Mary Lynn. It came across so naturally on the screen because we had this character, Chloe, who is quirky is the best way to say it, right? She didn't really fit the rest of the cast, and she didn't really connect with anybody on the cast until you came along. And there was a synergy, there was an empathy, there was something we saw in her that came out because of her relationship with you. Even when she was kind of pushing and, you know, kind of throwing you around a little bit, there was still a connection that she hadn't had with anybody else we had seen.
Myself, working with someone like Mary Lynn, she was just so comfortable. She was fun. She wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, I got to go do this. It was just like organic. You have a few laughs beforehand, and then you shoot the scene. And the writing made it easier because the writing was good, and it created this brother and sister kind of dynamic relationship.
Yeah.
You know, when people go, oh, you're gonna sleep with Mary Lynn, I was like, what? It's almost, to me, it was like such a brother and sister relationship where, you know, you fight with your brother, shut up. Not to go back to Sopranos, but when I did Sopranos, I know Big Pussy. I knew Vinny Pastore since I was 13. So when I got the role with him, like I would rehearse in his house all day with him, hang out with him, and then we drive to set together. But again, it was working with somebody you're comfortable with. It's like, all right, we can play. You're fun. And that's what happened with Mary Lynn. I had that same vibe. Like she was so easy. It was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And it was like, okay, you know? And I just, it was kind of became like that extreme comfortable situation working with her.
Yeah. That really translates to the audience for sure, because we're caught up in that story. We're a fly on the wall.
They should do an Edgar Chloe spinoff.
I agree. Like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah, Joel Howard, if you hear this, Mary Lynn and Louie, we live in Queens in our mom's house, and she's my sister, and she yells at me all day.
I think that's a story right there. We'd buy into that for sure.
Do you think in this day and age, 24 can easily be revived?
I guess. I mean, I guess I wouldn't know. I don't, you know, again, like they're trying to revive a lot of shows. I think those guys and those writers are so creative that they can come up with just better and better stuff as they go along. Most likely will. If they hire the same writers and people, absolutely.
He did say he wants to do it before he needs a cane.
Who said?
Kiefer said that.
Kiefer.
Yeah, I could wheel him around to these meetings in a wheelchair.
That's my next question. We know 24 and how 24 works, and are you really ever truly gone? Are you ever truly, really dead? Do you think Edgar could be revived? We didn't see him taken out. We don't know. There could have been a cure.
Exactly. I stepped back into CT, you know, my twin brother.
Man, this is gold. I hope Howard's listening.
Here comes Skip Lapare from The Sopranos. Now he's Edgar's brother. Yeah. I would love it. I would go back in 2 seconds for those guys, no matter what they do. Absolutely, my favorite character I've ever done is Edgar Styles, by far.
What's a favorite fan, a 24 fan interaction you've had that stood out?
Oh my God! Oh, so many. Like, okay, I'll give you the weirdest fan reaction.
Okay, yeah, please.
I'm in Vegas, right? I'm in Vegas, and I'm in my daughter was just born, and I'm in the mall. And my ex-wife is getting coffee at the Starbucks. And I'm in that mall in Vegas, and I'm holding her. These five dudes come over to me in, like, shorts, loafers, right? And they kind of, like, surround me. And they're like, hey, you're Louis Lombardi. And I'm like, holy shit, yeah. I'm like, these are cops. I'm getting arrested. I knew it in a minute. I'm like, holy shit. They're like, look up there. And I look up on the balcony of the mall by the escalator, and there's, like, just people, like, 50 people. They're like, he's a big fan of yours. Can he come down and take a picture? He's with his kid. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, we're Secret Service. I was like, holy shit. They're like, yeah, he's a fan of 24. So the guy goes, yeah, okay. I go, yeah, of course. I'll take a picture for better than going in handcuffs. I thought I was getting arrested. He goes, yeah, come on down. He throws it to his mic, and they come on down. As he moves with his kid, the 50 people that were behind him and stuff move with him. Like, fuck. He goes, this is the King of Jordan. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? He's like, he loves you. Comes down the escalator with his entire Secret Service, his entourage, his security, the King of Jordan, bro, in the mall in Vegas. Like, oh, can I get a picture with you? I am such a fan. He was going off. His kid was like the glasses, kind of, you know, little skinny kid. He could have been Edgar, you know, the real character, you know? And I was like, oh my God. I go, yeah. So they took like a bunch of pictures. They're on my Facebook. Like, you can see me and the King of Jordan like this and his kid. Yeah, and he came down. He goes, if you ever want to come to Jordan, everything is on me. I send the planes for you. I was like, this is insane. And the Secret Service, and he goes, anything you want, you talk to the Secret Service, you get their number, you call, you'll come out. We'll take care of you. And I was just like, okay. And I said, after my pitches, they whole move. Oh, yes, all those people in the mall were his security. So much so he spotted you and he followed you through the mall. I'm like, how the fuck didn't I see this? 80 people, you know?
All moving as one.
But that was one of the memories that's like, and I actually have the picture of me and the King of Jordan and his son on my Facebook. There's so many of those. At the basketball game with Sherry Lansing. I don't know if you know who Sherry Lansing is. Well, her husband is William Friedkin.
Exorcist. Didn't that Friedkin? Yeah, Exorcist. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting on the court by with some people, and she comes running over. Oh, my God. I'm a huge fan. Oh, my God. And Bill Friedkin's like, yo, Louie, she's out of her mind. She's an Edgar fan to the max. And I'm like, oh, she was the sweetest woman I've ever met. She took me by my arm, took me in the back, introduced me to her. So Friedkin goes, Louie, if you want me to stop her doing this, well, just tell me she's obsessed with Edgar. He goes, she called Fox when they killed me and said, you made the biggest mistake. She goes, that was terrible. Edgar's my favorite. What did you do? She was taking me around the whole arena. I was like, oh, in the back parties. And I was like, and she was just a huge fan. Again, you know, when I was in Japan, 100 people were coming out of their offices lining up. I started going, wow, the executives at Fox in Japan were like, we got to start doing 10 at a time in these pictures.
Couldn't even do individual pictures because there were so many people there.
So many, and they just kept coming. John McCain, when he came to 24 with his set, and he wanted to be in the scene with me, and he kept going, Edgar, I'm a big fan. When your mom died, I was like, whoa, man. Like, powerful, powerful emotions from extreme. And I'm using the successful and people because the regular fans are insane. So that show resonated with every demographic. Don't matter, young, old, don't matter what you are, everyone watches 24. So I've had some massive experiences like that. You know, people flying me places and having, you know, having view parties with them and stuff.
I mean, again, which explains why people are still picking it up. People are still, for the first time, finding out about it and drawn, as you said, the story. The story is so compelling. I think Howard used the word the pulse. The pulse of 24 is so in your face. You either get on the ride like a moving train, you just keep going.
The writing just keeps it rolling 1,000 miles an hour every season, every episode. When you're a 24 fan, if you get up to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, you've missed 10 steps.
I got hooked right after the first season. And I remember I was on a trip to Toronto. I had to be at a meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I can just do one more. If I can get an hour of sleep. And I remember I didn't even go to sleep. I just literally finished that episode, showered, went to the meeting. I'm sure I was terrible, but it was worth it. I don't care.
The funny thing is, when I would do the Associated Press and stuff a lot, right? The press would be like, oh, I would walk in like me, like this, blah, 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 you know? And they're like, oh my God, you're not Edgar. You're like so opposite. They were like, you're not like this quiet guy everybody thinks you are. And the press was like, what? Again, that's a testament to Joel Surnow and every writer.
Sure, yeah.
I was at more The Sopranos than I was Edgar, right.
So how many times have you been to Jordan?
I never went.
I bet you they would have a parade. The moment you step off the plane in Jordan, it'll be like you getting off Air Force One. They're going to take care of you. I mean, just for the reaction of the king, my goodness, that's pretty amazing.
Right. I mean, I'd be in his palace. You see me with my robe on, a slipper.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What's up, king?
Have people feeding you.
I love that. I mean, what's up, king? Every time he walks by, I'm like, my king.
If you need two assistants to help you go to Jordan, we'll sign up. We'll absolutely sign up. You talk about having your own projects, things that you've worked on. What would you like to talk about that you've done that's maybe not 24?
I've written, directed, and starred in a film in the Bronx called Doughboys, about family and stuff. A lot of good actors are in it. You know, Vinny Pastore, Mike Starr, Andrew Keegan, another sad kind of story. Everybody looks immediately thinks I'm funny sometimes when I do stuff. But most of my roles have been serious. You know, my personality is opposite of my role. Like, if you hung around me, you'd be like, oh my God, you know, you're not Edgar, you're not even the Soprano guy, you know. My personality is always uplifting, always laughing, always having fun. And I've never done those. So I did this movie I wrote and directed, and that turned out to be great. I'm actually doing a new TV series on NBC, The Rock's new show. I'm doing that. I just did a recurring role on that.
Oh, I'm only at three episodes in, or two episodes in.
I'm on like two of them. Yeah, I was in Australia shooting that for Christmas time.
I've been waiting to binge that one.
Kind of cool. It's like the Wonder Years and stuff. It's cute. It's great. You know, The Rock kind of cast me, I heard, but like Joel did. He hired me right there. They just flew me to Australia. I didn't meet anyone, so it was kind of great. Be hired by The Rock is like insane. And I'm actually working on a new TV series that we just hired a showrunner for, about my life growing up in the Bronx, 14-year-old kids with their moms. We're taking that out in a couple of weeks. Serious show, drama. So yeah, I got a bunch of stuff I'm working on now. Another couple of TV series that I'm working on. What I'm doing now is I'm developing my own frozen pizza line. I've been in research and development in Chicago. We're about to launch it at the pizza convention in August in Vegas. This is going to be a family-owned. It's like, you know, generations of families, you know, bringing families back to the dinner table. Let's talk with our families. We've got massive momentum. I've done a ton of press, and we're going to do this Italian kind of pizza. We're going to frozen do. We're going to probably do on QVC, HSN. You know, I'm brought up by all Italian women in the Bronx. So all I did was cook my whole life from 5, 6, you know, from a kid. I've been cooking. So what I did was I took my passion. I have this much passion for cooking and food as I do for act. I just took it to the food side, and people love it. Everybody's getting behind it. We have massive people jumping on that now, going, this is great. So hopefully my frozen pizza line will be out. It'll be on QVC, HSN, and we'll probably be in a bunch of markets to get it going with an online presence as well.
Excellent. Do you have a name for that already?
Yes, it's called Ava Lou, and it's Ava's my daughter, and I'm Lou.
Perfect. Perfect. Ava Lou's.
Well, I was taught to cook by my mother, my grandmother, my aunt. So we have like a single mom charity attached to the food brand. We have a feeding youth program that I want to attach to the brand as well. I want to feed kids. I want to help single moms. You know, I'm brought up by a single mom, so it's not easy. Yeah. You know, people take what they have for granted these days. People don't know how to be appreciative of whatever little they have. And that's the goal for my company, is to definitely feed kids. You know, underprivileged kids. I don't care what city, what state, how young or old. If you're a kid and you don't have food and stuff, Ava Lou's will come to your place and try to feed everyone. I'm going to try to feed America.
Ambitious. That's ambitious. I love it.
You look at all the money like some of our society has, and then you drive through the streets and you see women with children on the streets begging for dollars. If you have $500 million, like, what are you going to do with it?
Sit on it.
Right, exactly. And you won't help a soul. If I had $500 million, I would spend $300 million of it feeding kids. Literally, I'd go to every orphanage, every school, everything to help underprivileged kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just what I wanted. There's no motive. There's no goal, you know? I grew up like that. My mother helped a lot of kids. When we had we lived in the Bronx, you know, we had no dad. So all these kids would come to our house. We could have $20 or $20,000. We all fed each other, and we all just sat. That dinner table, it was the camaraderie of food that brought everyone together. And that's what I look at the dinner table as. It could be a wedding, a funeral, and now I'm transforming that into my brand.
I live in Windsor, which is right across from Detroit. So I'm in a border city. Windsor is arguably the pizza capital of Canada. So when I was a kid growing up, Friday night was pizza night. That was the treat. You'd get through school the whole week, we'd get a pizza. But we could get a pizza from a different place every week, 52 weeks of the year, and still not cover all the great Italian pizza places that are in this town. There's nothing better to feed a family than pizza.
Right. I'm coming to Windsor. And if I'm there for 5 days, we're going to eat 15 places, three a day. But you're right, though. It's like Friday night's pizza night. I did it across the world. I mean, you know, people say it all the time, and I grew up that way. I make my own doughs, my own gravy. It's my experimentation in my house. You know, I love cooking with my daughter and stuff, and I sit home, yeah.
And your daughter's a part of the company, too. That's exciting.
I learned from my grandmother first, then my mom. I'm teaching my daughter. So it's all these women and me. This big Italian loud guy and three little tiny 5 foot women.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Anything else that we didn't cover that you want to?
Don't worry, man. Good luck on everything you guys are doing with this. I love it.
Typical barrister.